Welcome to Longview Baptist Church. Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I am Pastor John. This ministry is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find an answer to the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die.
great scripture. Psalm chapter 84, first four verses of that tonight. The message titled, The Only Dwelling Place. The Only Dwelling Place. Those tonight who are scared of storms would love right behind me to be your dwelling place in one of these rooms. Why? Because there's a block wall that it is protecting you. Spiritually speaking tonight, are you in a hiding place that is protected? Or is that old children's story about the big bad wolf, right? The house of straw, isn't that the one? How many people are living in spiritual straw houses? Well, let's just talk about the picture in Scripture of the wise man built his house upon the rock, but the foolish man built his house upon the sand. And there's a psalm that we used to sing when I was a kid, and the rains came tumbling down. Rains came down, the floods came up. But what? The house on the sand, we used to say, went crash. That's the truth of it, though. Tonight, if your house, spiritually speaking, is not built on a solid foundation in Jesus Christ, it is actually the picture of that house that's been swept clean in the book of Matthew. I preached on it here a number of months ago. The demons left the house that was swept clean. It says they went to arid places seeking rest. Then an interesting thing happens. It says they come back later on and they find, what was the key word? Their house, unoccupied. The title deed hadn't been transferred. They had the ability still to call that their house because it had not been filled with the Holy Spirit. It had been swept clean. What that is the picture of the human condition, cleaning the house spiritually in our lives. Starting to go to church, stop smoking and stop cussing, right? And get a little religion. That's a house swept clean. But when you don't allow the power of Christ through salvation and the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit to take control, you only have a swept clean house. And let me encourage you once again, and what happens, seven more wicked spirits come, and the condition, the scripture says, of that person is worse than it was at the beginning. So don't tonight have a spiritually clean home. Make sure you have a house that's filled spiritually with the power of the Spirit as you yield yourselves to His desires, His wants, His wills, and make the one and only dwelling place that's worth living in your dwelling place, resting in. Hope you found Psalm chapter 84. If you're able physically, let's stand out of reverence tonight for the reading of God's Word. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord of hosts. I long and I yearn for the courts of the Lord. My heart, my flesh cry out for the living God. Even a sparrow finds a home and a swallow, a nest for herself where she places her young. Near your altars, Lord of hosts, my King, my God, how happy are those who reside in your house, who praise you continually. Father, thank you tonight for your word, God, for truth. Lord, I thank you, Father, that your scripture says, when we draw near to you, you will draw near unto us. Father, we thank you that your word says, ask and it shall be given. Seek and we shall find, knock and the door will be opened. God, I thank you that those truths tonight are as relevant, as real, and the promise as true as it's ever been. God, I pray that every one of us tonight will become desperate for you, if not already. Hide me behind the cross, Father, so that your word would speak to the greatest of needs, the smallest, and everyone in between tonight. But let the radiant glory of King Jesus overshadow everything tonight, Father. Lord, let the glory of your throne, the person, the work of Christ, and that ability we have to fellowship with you because of that sacrifice as we celebrate in the Passion Week this week, the incredible sacrifice that was made so that we tonight can be objects not of your wrath, but beautiful objects of your mercy tonight. We ask this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. First two verses again. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord of hosts. I long and yearn for the courts of the Lord. My heart, my flesh, cry out for the living God. What's your spiritual dwelling place? And I ask you, you might say, well, you know what? I don't even understand what you're saying. How's your spiritual house tonight in your heart, in your life? Spiritual dwelling place, we talked about Sunday night. There's only one throne in the heart. There's only one person that can occupy that throne. And who is it? Well, for a Christian, it's the Lord. Tonight, the question again is, who is it? Is it the Lord? Is it self? Self-ambition? Is it the enemy? Is it being a wolf in sheep's clothing? Deceiving yourself, as Scripture says, the truth isn't in you. Tonight, if your dwelling place is not in the presence of the Lord, you don't know the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. I know that for a fact. And inside, you have built your house on the sand, proverbially speaking. And ultimately, you're going to experience the great crash if the dwelling place, the occupation, doesn't change. First thing I want to share with you tonight comes from those first two verses. It's the only place of perfect peace is in God's presence. It's peace. Peace of God that surpasses all understanding is that peace that in the midst of the hardest of situations, the most vile and violent storms of life, the sustaining peace of God is unable to carry you. He sustains you. He allows you to continue to, in a sense, fight another day. You know, it's been, I've told you, you know this, as of yesterday, it's 2 weeks ago that my nephew died. It has been one of the hardest 2 weeks that I have remembered in my life. One of the hardest 2 week periods in my life. If I was not a follower of Christ, there's no telling what I would have been up to the last 2 weeks. But let me assure you, it would have not been good. I would have been removing myself from having to process, comprehend, and dwell in life's battle and struggle with the emotional concept of what we have gone through. But God is faithful. We know what Scripture says. His mercies are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. And I love the song by Horatio Spafford, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, sorrows like sea billows roll," because Horatio Spafford wrote that song in the midst of great grief over having lost his wife. Well, not his wife. He lost a bunch of children, right? I'm at a loss right now, but he had endured great loss. His wife was the sole survivor. Lost his whole family. As a matter of fact, the telegram, if I'm remembering correctly, said, saved alone. But all of his children had died. And that's the reality of grief sometimes. Peace like a river attendeth my way when sorrows like sea billows roll. And in the reminder that whatever my lot thou taught me to say it as well, to me that's really a manifestation of 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. It is well with my soul. And that has to be the magnification of our life. It cannot be a mere statement that's not lived. Because what is the essence of your walk with Christ if you collapse like one of those Dollar General lawn chairs that sat out for about 3 years in the sun If you've ever seen it, it's catastrophic. You sit down in it and all of the plastic breaks at one time. Not a pretty sight, especially if you're the one sitting in it. But you know that's what happens to you spiritually if you don't dwell in the presence of the Lord. If you don't dwell in that perfect place of peace. I saw a video clip today of a person in a Lamborghini Hurricane. He had to have been doing about 250 miles an hour. He had his friend in the front seat videotaping him. He was on the Autobahn. And he was really getting it. And that car was really doing him right. And they ended up showing his hands in the last about 10 seconds. And I don't know what happened, but he got a hitch in his giddy up. The next thing you know, you hear him make a little noise like, uh-oh, this isn't going to be good. And then later on, you see the police video of the skid marks, and you see this little black remnant of what once was two men in a car. There's nothing left. That's what happens spiritually when you are not anchored in Christ, when the sea billows roll, apart from the enduring promises of God that are actually being lived out in your life, not as mere statements. That's why I do not in any way ascribe to the seeker doctrine of spiritual depth as thick as a credit card. I want to just tell you something. If you're not in your Bible tonight, may God have mercy on your soul. Because I can promise you, you are going to have one horrific life ahead of you. Because not only are you living, as a matter of fact, if you had never come in here, you'd be a lot better off. Because now you are disobedient with knowledge, which is the worst thing you can ever do. Scripture says it is better not to know the way of righteousness than to know the way of righteousness and turn your back on the sacred command that was passed down to you. So I encourage you tonight, if you are in disobedience, if nothing more because of what I've just said to you, magnifies the weight of responsibility that you carry not being in God's Word. Because listen, when the sea billows roll, you will merely be experiencing the law of harvest. That which you sow shall you also reap. Tonight, the only perfect place of peace is in God's presence. I recognize that. And brothers and sisters, I want to just tell you, that's where I desire to dwell. I studied all day Friday and Saturday and then Sunday after church for a test we had on Monday. Got ready to take the test, just prayed and said, God, listen, this is a train wreck because I am not a man that is schooled well in the endocrine system, which is your kidneys and all that stuff. It's honestly, it's just way outside of my pay grade mentally, so to speak. And having had what had been going on for the last 2 weeks, I was really spent still. I'm still spent. But I took the test and God really blessed it tremendously. And I just thanked the Lord. I was talking to the Lord afterwards and said, you know, you really did what only you can do. And see, that's the difference in living and submitting to God's purpose, plan, and will versus the parallel universe. The parallel universe sees God as nothing more than a Holy Spirit life preserver that's there to give me something or so that I can get something from Him. And then what do? We put Him back in His respectful place, disgracing everything that He died to be for us. In a sense, you've heard me say this, I'm going to say it again. You pimp Jesus. You're using Him for what you want, not in any way wanting fellowship. I don't want to spend time in His Word. He's there to give me what I want, and then I put Him back where I want Him to stay, and you will stay where I put you. I'm sorry, but it's true, whether you like it or not. In all honesty, I don't care what you think, because truth is truth, amen? And truth is what all of us need to hear. And we can either desire to live in the presence of God, in the midst of that perfect place of blessing and peace, which doesn't mean that we have it all figured out. What it means is that we stay in God's presence. We recognize that and we have to stay desperate for Him because we realize to step out of His presence is to step in a cataclysmic disaster. Epic proportions. Then, verse 3. Even a sparrow finds a home and a swallow, a nest for herself where she places her young. Near altars, the Lord of hosts, my God and my King. I want to share the second thing tonight out of that verse, and it's this: God will make a place for you in His presence if you desire it. God will make a place for you in His presence if you desire it. Key word there. What is the key word? If you desire it. If you desire it. How many people have you ever seen in your life that talk about desiring to spend time in the presence of God, but you never see them do it? You hear a lot of talk about it. You hear a lot of talk about wanting a deeper relationship with the Lord and a deeper intimate fellowship with, and I just want to know the Lord to that level. And you hear it and you hear it, but you don't ever see them take any definitive steps to move in the direction of a deeper, more intimate fellowship with God. Anybody ever seen that? I have. It's truly a lesson in insanity. Insanity, doing the same thing over, expecting a different outcome. And again, if you're here tonight, you're not in God's Word, you are engaging in a demonstration of actual, definitive insanity. Because you're wanting a different thing, but you're doing the same thing over, expecting that new outcome to show up without inviting God, which is the only one that will enable the transformation to occur. You won't even invite him to the party. You hold him out here as a talisman. He's like a lucky rabbit's foot. See, I don't know if they have those anymore, but in the 70s, in the early 80s, it kind of disappeared about mid-80s, maybe about 82 or 83, you really saw it kind of disappear. But they, poor rabbits, everybody had lucky, they called them lucky rabbit's feet. And they were just this little fuzzy little rabbit foot. It was a true rabbit's foot with claws and everything on it. I guess there was just somebody going, whack! Poor rabbits, they were footless everywhere, had to be. But they, you know, you'd put that in your pocket and they'd have rabbit's feet. They were lucky rabbit's foot. That was real big deal to people. That's not what Jesus is about. That's not what salvation's about. That's not what God's about. That's not what an offering plate's about. It's about salvation through Jesus Christ and understanding the privilege of then living for Him, yielding, submitting, and serving Him. And the gift of being able to be a part of God using you, which, by the way, He deserves to, because we are His workmanship, creating Christ Jesus to do good works. We were created to serve Him, to glorify Him, to magnify the picture of God, His power, His presence. That's why we were created. You know, He didn't create us so that we could sit down here and suck air up for 80 years, 50, 40, or whatever. To sit around here and just float through this world and contribute to nothingness, self. It's not why we were created. We have a greater plan and purpose. But my question to you tonight is, is that going to be realized in your life, or will you be another one that enters the halls of eternity having done nothing with your life, which sadly so many do? See, God will make a place for you in His presence if you desire it. But desire it means that in an overt act of your will, at a time like tonight, when you're sitting there going, oh man, it's all over me. He's speaking to me. I'm not talking to you. If you feel like that, it's God. Praise Him. Glorify Him. Yield to Him. It's on nights like tonight when you go, you know what? I don't want a life that has not been worth living. I don't want a legacy that some sorry, no count, non-backbone preacher stands up and preaches me into heaven, or what our family thinks is doing, gets up there and is nothing but a two-legged, long-legged liar. saying how wonderful you were and how you're in a better place and all this filth that they get up there and talk about, which has nothing to do with the person standing up there. How many times have I sat there and get, who are they talking about? I'm at the wrong funeral home because I don't know the one they're talking about. Anybody else ever been to one of those? Sickening, isn't it? You don't want somebody to get up there and lie about you. You want somebody to be able to get up there and share the truth about you. The truth about your love for Christ, your passion for Him. Truth about the times that you struggle with it. And maybe fell flat on your face spiritually, but they saw your heart. They saw your true love for Jesus manifest in your life. And they can stand up there and say, you know what? They fought the good fight. They fell flat on their face at times, but they were so transparent about their battles. And it was such a picture of Matthew, the book of Matthew, the 7th chapter, by their fruits you'll know them. And there is no way that anybody definitively could have missed the fruit hanging off that brother, that sister's tree of the life that they lived. See, when you desire, God will make place in His presence for you. He desires that fellowship tonight. We know what the book of Matthew says also, come to me all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He's saying, come. What? All you who are weary and heavy laden, you struggling tonight? He's saying, come. Come. Come dwell in my presence. Come experience a peace that surpasses all understanding. Come. Come, join me in my presence. Because why? There's perfect peace in my presence. There's joy. There's hope. There's life. There's purpose. There's a plan. And then finally, starting in verse 4, how that happy are those who reside in your house, who praise you continually. Third and final thing, joy is the heart of those who praise God continually. Again, 1 Thessalonians, in all things give thanks, for this is God's will in Christ Jesus concerning you. You having a hard day? Continue to repeat that scripture. We got tons more we can share, but I'm going to tell you something. You want a life that can be one that praises the Lord? Get in His presence, dwell in His presence. You'll experience the perfect peace. You'll find a joy, because joy is at the heart of those who praise the Lord continually. That's what the scriptural call is. The Bible says to pray without ceasing. If you pray without ceasing, what do? You end up finding perfect peace. Why? Because there is only peace in His presence. You want that joy? You want that hope? You want that fulfillment? You want that purpose and that plan? It's found nowhere outside of the context of His desire, will for your life. Now, how do we find out what the context of His purpose, His plan, and His will is for my life? We go back to the default, which I say all the time. How can you find that if you're not in His Word? You can't. Because the confines of God's purpose and plan for our life is the Bible itself. It lays the framework with which God has enabled us to experience each one of those things tonight. It cannot and ever will be found outside of it, because if it is, then God's a liar. And brothers and sisters, again, I don't have time for lies. I don't have time for squandered or wasted time. So therefore, what I recognize fully tonight is the context of God's plan for my life. When He says no, there's a really good reason for it. A real good one. We're studying right now the immune system and cancers. It's interesting because we have a culture that magnifies, that glorifies alcohol consumption. Now, I'm not up here tonight to sit here and tell you that you're a teetotaler and you're going to do... Listen, it's between you and Jesus, but I want to tell you something. The textbooks are talking about how dangerous alcohol is in so many of these conditions and how it is really not good for your immune system. Now, it's interesting because I always hear people say, my doctor told me to drink beer. You go tell your doctor, if your God isn't good enough to protect your kidneys and you've got to drink beer, you get you another doctor. Amen? The same way that the one doctor told me that I need to smoke pot for my back. And this was a very reputable doctor. And I said, listen, not only is it against the law, but how is smoking a substance into my lungs that has more tar than cigarettes does? Well, then I'm not going to be able to breathe and it's going to help my back. But then I've got oxygen down the road because I've cooked my lungs. I said, it's illegal, but I said, you know what? I'll just trust the Lord for this, and thank you. You know, you're a real nice fellow. So we can take things and we can make excuses for behavior. And by the way, when you have to ask your spouse or you have to ask a preacher or somebody else, what do you think about? Listen, just be quiet. Let your conscience guide you, meaning don't do it in the first place, because the first time you open your mouth to ask me or somebody else, you already knew you shouldn't have been doing it in the first place. So just do this. Just be quiet. Dump it out and trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not, well, I just like the taste. Good, get some Welch's grape juice. That's as better than any new wine you'll ever have in your life. Amen? And you won't get up puking on Saturday morning. You'll be able to be there with your family. You're not going to get in your car and do something foolish. You're not going to get in there and beat one of your children or your wife because you got drunk and didn't know what you were doing. You won't have to risk that. Amen? Because I've not met one. Find me one person that's a better, more sold out for Christ Christian because they started drinking. You'll never find one. You won't. I'm sorry, but you won't. Now, when I came in here at 30, you could have said, you've not lived a long enough, preacher. I'm pushing 50. Don't tell me. I've been there. I've done that. I've been with hundreds of them, right in the middle of them, and I've never found anybody. I've only found people that got that way and wanted to talk about Jesus, and that's when I'd say, you better shut up. I don't want to talk about it. You want to fight, I'll fight you. I didn't want nothing to do with it when I was running with the Lord. That's where Jesus had to take a side shelf to my life because I was not in any position to want to do that, and it drives me insane when people want to do in town there at the bar at Christmas time, happy birthday Jesus, out in front of an establishment that has caused so much heartache, pain, and hurt in families. It is not, I'm sorry, church, it is not conducive. Literally, I'm sorry. That's just like us getting in here and putting advertisements on the wall for that stuff. No, light and darkness hath no fellowship, church. I'm telling you tonight, what do you want to dwell in the midst of? Compromise? Do you want to walk at the edge of hell and dance with the devil and think that you're not going to entertain longer than the few minutes that you're desiring to? No. You dance with the devils. What does it say? If you merely touch Leviathan, read the book of Job. If you merely touch him, you will never forget. That's what it says. Meaning, light and darkness hath no fellowship. Get out of fellowship. Get out of the presence with things that will and can destroy you. Don't think for a moment that you're going to entertain and dance around with sin and it's not going to have consequences that are far-reaching in your lives. When it says light and darkness hath no fellowship, what that's meaning is you better get away, because light and darkness, everybody knows what light is and everybody knows what darkness is. Anybody ever said, you know, it's half dark spiritually in their life? No. You don't hear that, do you? Because people know what light is and you know what darkness is. You don't go outside and go, you know what? It's half dark outside right now. You're either hot or you're cold. But because you're lukewarm, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth, what the Bible says. Meaning, there's no half dark. There's no half light. You're either light or you're dark. And my question today is not a color of skin either. This is talking about spiritual conditions of your heart. Are you light or are you dark? Are you hot or are you cold? Well, if you're dark and you're cold, I would encourage you tonight to get on your face before God and bring yourself into the light, out of the darkness. I would encourage you to get hot spiritually tonight because you don't want to be cold and dark. The only dwelling place worth dwelling in tonight is in the presence of King Jesus, the God of creation that brings us the ability to get on our face and into the presence of God, the God that created you, the God that loves you, the God that sent his son Jesus to die for you. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight, Lord, for your word.
Thank you for joining us today. We pray that God's word has encouraged you. You feel like you've had fellowship and been at home with family. Today, if God has moved in your heart, and today you would like to make him not only the Savior, but the Lord of your life, first, it's important to know that we are sinners. We're born sinners. No one can bridge the gap that was separated when sin broke what God had created so beautifully. If today you know you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and you know that Jesus Christ was born, lived a sinless life, and died on the cross to pay for your sin. Today, if you want to, you can trust him as your Lord and Savior. It requires you to pray and in faith, ask him to save you, to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you, and you want to live for him. I pray today, if you do that, that you will reach out to us. We would love to get you connected in a church body, a church home, wherever that might be, and get discipleship around you so you can grow in this new life that you found in Christ. Read God's word. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God bless you.